summon the nuts.
Okay, summoning the nuts.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is Joe. What's up, Joe?
Oh, I thought you were going to say my toxic Avenger.
Oh, that's usually only for talking trash.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hi, everyone. I'm Joe, not the toxic Avenger. Joe.
Yes,
that's just Joe today.
That's true. This is before and after reviews, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after, spoiler free unless we say otherwise. And today we are talking about the long awaited, what is it, like 5 years? This thing was filmed in 2022. It didn't show up until 2023, and it finally released in 2025. And we're talking about the Toxic Avenger remake. And let's give our little thoughts. Let's give our little dialogue before, because secretly we watched this movie before doing the recording because it was an early film and we had to get some breakfast in our bellies.
Yes.
And so let's just talk about our history with the Toxic Avenger, our thoughts in this long-awaited process to start this off. We on the show, on our other podcast, our other show on this podcast, Talking Trash, we watched all of the Toxic Avenger films and Sergeant Kabuki Man.
Yes.
And in doing so, we have discovered that we have a love-hate relationship with the Toxic Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say love to hate?
Yeah, love to hate is closer than hate to love.
Yeah, I agree. let's both agree here that we like Toxic Avenger 1.
Yes.
And it's a very cold, and when we say like, we know it's not great.
Right.
We know it's not like the best thing ever, but it is a cult movie that is an oddity. Yeah. That is just so much insane. Let's just say insanity that we kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
And when we say we enjoy it in tongue in cheek.
Oh yeah. We know it's not great, but yeah, it's cheesy fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we also must agree that while we were watching these movies, we learned that 2 and 3 were awful.
Yes.
Like just straight awful.
Yep.
And then we watched Sergeant Kabuki Man, which is also in kind of in the universe, this Tromaville-esque universe that they have made. And I think we enjoyed it better than 2 and 3. But 4 was the kind of return of form.
Yeah.
It's offensive. It's grotesque. It's people probably shouldn't watch it who like movies. They, you know, people who like horror movies and like cult movies and can laugh at how bad or offensive something is, or are able to laugh at themselves. That's the kind of crowd that should watch The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that's where we were going into this movie, or at least hearing that they had the balls to remake it.
Yeah. I'm actually happy that they did have the balls to remake this movie.
Yeah, let's
because it anyone else doing this without the help of Lloyd Kaufman, which he did write this movie with them, I feel like it wouldn't have come out the same.
No, he has a writing credit for coming up with the characters.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, okay. It's not that he wrote this movie.
All right, well then Macon Blair, who's the director in this, he was definitely had a love for the source material for sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into the review of the movie yet. I just wanted to get our thoughts and like going in beforehand.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was trying to do a little before at part of this. Anyways, yeah, Macon Blair. So Macon Blair is the director of this movie. He's also the writer of it. This is his second directorial movie, like a feature film. He directed an episode of a television show, but he's an actor and he's appeared in a lot of great films. I mean, he's in Oppenheimer, for yeah. God's sakes. You know, a lot of people know this actor, but don't really know him. You know, he's one of those actors. He's in an incredible movie called Blue Ruin, and he's also in Green Room, which I would suggest that people go check out if they haven't seen those movies. He also shockingly showed up on the Swamp Thing television show as Phantom Stranger, which always blew my mind that that was something that happened. Yeah, this guy, he's an interesting guy who obviously has a sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went and checked out the movie. And I cannot believe this is one of those films that's, like, taken forever to come out.
I don't know why it took so long.
Well, I mean, this was in development hell forever. And I think that no company understood how to release this. In fact, when it was first pitched and first announced that it was going to be made, they said it was PG-13.
There's no way.
Yeah, they said that they were going to make the first PG-13 movie since Sergeant Kabuki, man, for Troma. And I think everybody was like, lost their collective minds. Like, why would you ever think that's a good idea? If you're going to remake one of the most offensive movie series ever, you kind of have to go for it. Am I correct?
Yeah.
You have to make this thing a hard R. It has to be disturbing. It has to be like punk rock. It has to be culty. Like, you have to go for all of those things.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when that was announced, I think everybody kind of lost it. And so I think if I had, what I've heard over the last blank amount of years is that reshoots, trying to re-edit the film, trying to figure out a way for Legendary to release it, also shopping around for a home, because I think this was shown at a film festival in 2023.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And even what's crazy about it is that there were so many people attached to this film. A lot of people were going to be in it or cameo, and then they all dropped out. And we do have some big celebrities, like Kevin Bacon being the main villain.
Kevin Bacon, he's just so much fun. He will do anything. Like, he as long as it's, like, fun for him. And you can tell he was having fun, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also Elijah Wood being in this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the main star being Peter Dinklage, who I think in 2023 was like in the height of his career.
Yeah, I would say so.
Coming off of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so it was, that's a big deal. And also, Jacob Tremblay, right?
This kid's showing up in everything.
I know, and I really think that's funny that we have now seen two films back-to-back in this year of watching him dance.
Yeah, that's a thing now, yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing, and the other one was Life of Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he was probably one of the highlights of the whole movie, his dancing and everything. But yeah, so yeah, we saw this movie, and now I think, you know, having all that set up where I think that we both kind of agree that our concerns were, well, PG-13 rumor, re-editing, reshoots, the nightmare that is filmmaking these days when you make something that's really odd, and then having Peter Dinklage be the Toxic Avenger, I think were the big concerns, right?
My biggest concern was, yes, not that I don't think Peter Dinklage is a terrific actor. I think he's great. I just feel like because of the source material and because the whole purpose of the character of Toxie is that he was like this scrawny guy, got picked on, and
yeah, the biggest nerd.
You know, biggest nerd, and then he became this monster. Like, you know, monster in every sense of the word. Like, just larger than life. He was huge, and he was just kicking ass and stuff. So he became the complete opposite of what he was. And in this, Peter Dinklage is, you know, he's small. So it was like, how are they going to do this? How are they going to make it have the same effect?
Yeah, I think that when it was announced, there was famously, like, teaser trailers that showed nothing.
Right.
Just kind of someone getting killed with a mop. And yeah. It was like, that was the teaser. And a lot of people got excited with the teaser, but I think everybody had the same concern. Like, so are they going to make Peter Dinklage turn into like Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know what I mean?
That's your first thought. I thought that's what they were going to do, but they didn't go that route.
They decided not to do that at all, which I think when it was first kind of like said, oh no, now he, it when they kind of show the image of the shadow of him, you're like, oh no, they didn't do this at all. They're just making Peter Dinklage the monster. And so I think going in, I automatically was like, that is a bizarre choice. Mm-hmm. If you're going to remake this thing, you think that you would go for that, but yeah, not going for it. I was kind of like, well, where's their mindset going with this? And are they already like making these weird choices that might not help the plot at all? You know, or at least the remake idea of it.
Yeah.
And I think that was where my big concern came in. Like, I was like, oh, this thing's going to be a mess.
Yeah. Well, I didn't read any trivia on this going in. I didn't want to. But now that I have read the trivia,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, dang. Because,
yeah, well, you know. Well, yeah. So, we're talking about, we saw it. And that one of the biggest things is, I think after watching the movie, you don't notice this during the movie, but Peter Dinklage is not the monster. It's actually another actor, which mm-hmm. is crazy.
It's actually a female actor.
Yes. That was odd. You mm-hmm. could tell by the blue eyes. See, the eye completely is different.
100%. I mean, they could have slapped some contacts in there on Peter, but that was not him in the makeup at all.
Yeah. And it also, I noticed it during the movie. I kept watching the mouth and the eye, and I was like, okay, that can't be him in there.
No.
Because the lips looked feminine at certain times.
They overdubbed his voice onto her.
Yeah.
So she's like a performance actress. I read up a little bit about her.
Yeah.
And I think she did a good job. I mean, she had a lot of physical stuff to do.
Yes.
So I thought she did a good job. I could see Peter Dinklage not being interested in doing the physical work in this.
Which is a shame.
Because, I mean, I just don't see him as that kind of an actor. Like a physical actor. I don't know why. He's a dramatic actor, and I just don't see him doing, you know, stunt work like this.
Well, that's the cool thing about Peter Dinklage is that he's kind of been very vocal about being into the like the nerddoms himself.
Yeah, I mean, you can be a nerd and you can be into the nerddoms, but you know, are you willing to?
That's what I thought. That's why I assumed that he did this movie. It was like, oh, I definitely want to do that movie. That's the kind of stuff I grew up with, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then not hearing that he actually did it also made it more confusing that why did they go this route then?
Yeah. I mean, he actually did put in the work, though. I mean, I read that, you know, he did perform the whole movie on videotape as Toxie. But then, you know, just himself, though, but making the, like, delivering the lines and physical choices and stuff, that's him. But the video version is just pretty much him in a room doing the whole movie. And the actress that actually plays him in the movie kind of just studied those tapes and memorized them. And that's how she was able to do, like, the physical performance.
What a weird choices.
Yeah. So she's, like, studying everything about Peter Dinklage in the videotape that he made.
Yeah.
Like his movements and his, you know, the way he walks and all that stuff. So.
Well, one of the, I don't know if you noticed this too, in the opening of the movie actually has a subtitle that is unrated. That was something that I thought was interesting too. So that means there was a cut version of this film and they released into theaters the unrated version.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought this was going to be a Fathom event, which is something that Regal gets a lot. I don't know if other theaters chains also get that, but for us in Regal, we get sometimes very independent movies get put out by Fathom Events and that you have to pay extra, which I've never understood. Luckily, this movie came out as an actual theater release. And when I saw the unrated, I was like, wow, that's weird. Like,
yeah.
Why would this just not be the regular version? And I guess let's talk about let's break this movie down in like three parts maybe, right? Because I would say that for the first half of the movie, I was 100% on board with this film.
Okay.
I don't know
first
how you,
half?
The first, the first 30 minutes, the first 40 minutes of the movie, I was like, I would say 30 minutes of the movie, I was like, oh my God, this is way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was definitely invested.
I was invested. I was laughing.
I was laughing
constantly.
A lot. Yes, it was funny as hell.
I liked Peter Dinklage in this movie. Was like really, I liked him. I liked his character. I liked his motivations.
Yeah.
I liked all the things that were happening around him. I liked the oddity of their St. Romaville. I liked that world building.
Yeah.
And the idea of the toxic waste stuff is actually really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And this movie automatically starts where it tells you that, no, we're making something totally different, because the first character we meet is actually the original name of the Toxic Avenger, which is Ferd, which I love. And they actually use the first version, because there's two versions of his name.
Well, he becomes Melvin. Isn't he Melvin?
Melvin Ferd.
Melvin Ferd,
so the first guy we meet is Melvin Ferd in this
Melvin
film.
Ferd.
Yeah. And they just move on from that. They go, oh, we're doing something completely different.
Yeah.
This is going to be a new thing. And we're going to have a new main character, which the new name of the Toxic Avenger is Willard Coos.
Winston Coos. Yes.
And I was like, okay. All right. We know what we're making here. We know we're going for the craziness. We're going for the insane, like, offensive jokes and cult like jokes. And I was like, okay, I'm all on board.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't believe I'm going to come out of this going, this is a cult. This is going to be a cult classic. That's how I felt. Did you feel the same in that first 30 minutes?
Yeah. I thought the first 30 minutes I was laughing. I was loving it. I love all the nods to Tromaville and, you know, Lloyd Kaufman's stuff. And I was like, this is going to be good. This is going to be like, you know, the fans of Toxie and all that and Tromaville, they're going to be into this. It's going to be a cult thing.
I wouldn't even say the Tromaville. I just think like the new horror fans of today who haven't watched all that weird indie crap. I thought that for those people coming in, they're probably going to be like, oh my God, this is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And even the directing Macon Blair did, it is fantastic.
It is.
And it just like little things of like, Elijah Wood showing up as a hunchback with he looks like Danny DeVito in Batman Returns.
He looks like a cross between the Penguin and Gollum. He does.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, what did they do to my poor, beautiful Elijah?
And I was like, God, Elijah Wood, I love you for doing this kind of stuff. And I was like hoping for more of that in this film.
Well, he's a next level nerd. He is.
He is.
And a lot of people don't know that.
I thought maybe his horror movie production company did this, but I don't think they did. So that was kind of surprising.
Well, it did say produced by Lloyd Kaufman.
You automatically get an executive production name when it's your kind of film that they're taking and redoing. They usually put that on there. That's why he also gets a writing credit.
Okay, I get it.
Because, I mean, you get a bunch of credits because it's based on your character, so you're automatically put there as a writing credit.
Okay.
We watched a movie the other day that was the Black Cat, and it said story by Edgar Allan Poe because it's based off of his story.
Right, right. So, well, I saw that on, you know, in the credits that Lloyd Kaufman was a writer with Macon Blair, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. But then, you know, told me that it was just... I feel like there's still elements of Lloyd Kaufman in there, but I think you're right. It's like a homage to Lloyd Kaufman is what Macon Blair was going for.
Kind of. Yeah. I would say that that's where I think the 30 minutes end. And then we start the next 30 minutes, which is him becoming the Toxic Avenger. And I was again, for the first 15 minutes of that 30 minutes, I was like, okay. All right, I kind of think this is silly fun of him being the Toxic Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would say that 15-minute ended, and then the last 45 minutes or so start, and I was like, all right, the cracks are showing.
Okay, now what cracks are you referencing?
I feel like this movie had a hard time finding its footing, because I feel like that first 30 minutes kind of set up a tone, a cult feel, and a level of we don't care kind of an attitude, like mm-hmm. punk rock kind of feel that I love about the original stuff.
It definitely had a punk rock feel.
And then I feel like the last half was like, this is now just a superhero film. And it's just like, oh, we got to beat the bad guy. The bad guy is silly. It's over the top. And it's just like, moving on, moving on, moving on. And it kind of fit these beats. And I was like, slowly started losing its humor, started becoming a little too I would say generic for me.
Wow.
I would say that there's moments of violence that are fun, but it happens way too little. And I do now, knowing that it might have been PG-13 at one time, I do think a lot of that was CG added. And I think that when it does happen, it is still fun, but it just happens too little in this film. I feel like we've seen movies like The Monkey this year, where the gore is out of control, insane. And I was like, this movie needs to be that. It needs to not pull any punches.
Well, the original Toxic Avenger didn't really have a lot of gore. And when the gore did hit, it was like cheesy, you know?
Yeah, but first off, no, it had some of the most offensive gore I've ever seen on film. Like, they killed a little child in that movie, running him over with a car for like 5 minutes. It was like insane in the original. And there's stuff like that that's like, oh my God, this is sleazy. This is insane. And this movie kind of is just like, you know, a lot of punching head parts off. And on the bad guys, who I was like, damn, this needs to go more heavy into like the spoofing crazy aspect that I feel like it can go. It needed to be darker. I don't know what it was, but it got too silly for me.
Wow. Okay. I feel the complete opposite. I feel the complete opposite of that. Wow. I feel like I thought the gore was fantastic. I mean, yeah, it, you know, got crazy a little bit, I wouldn't say too repetitive, but just a little bit repetitive with the, you know, slicing off
the same
face and top of the heads and all that stuff. But I still feel like the gore was there and they gave it to us. And yes, it was comical because I feel like we're in a movie that is a complete farce. It's, you know, it's like a goof.
Even being a farce, this is the exact same plot line as something like The Shadow or something where it's just like, okay, now the hero's got to save the person. And then the hero's going to move on and kill the bad guy.
But that's
and
how
the bad
was
guy's going to mutate or something. You've seen this so many times.
Yeah, but that's what the Toxic Avenger is. All of those movies, they all end the same, pretty much.
Yeah, but those movies, like, there are so many things in that original movie that are not, you know, like, the typical formula, but the things that make them get there are just insane. Like, it's just insanity. Like, his girlfriend, or why he's going after them, because, like, the House of the Blind or whatever. Just insane stuff, and I think that's what makes that click. But here I feel like, oh no, we're just moving on. And the movie's trying to have a heart, which feels so odd this movie.
They change it up. Instead of, you know, the blind girlfriend, they have a child in this.
Yes.
So they change it up a bit. I'm happy that they did that, because I thought like the blind girlfriend that was like super hot and all that was just a bit, it was funny, but it was extra and it was like, okay, you know, whatever. But them carrying that on in the other one too, it was like, all right, this is played out. But I do like how they switched it up. I like that. And I thought that pretty much, like, I feel like the gore and the characters that were involved in this were much better than anything I've seen in the other movies. The characters in this alone, the bad guys.
Sure.
You know,
do I think this is a better film? Yeah, but it's still a generic Hollywood movie to me. Like, I found myself laughing less and less. I would say the highlight of the movie, the laughs probably are, there's Miss Meat, that's like a burger place in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and the violence in there, and the jokes. I would say after that sequence, everything is pretty mediocre after that, because I think each little joke setup aren't as strong. You know, they have a running couple gags or something like that, and a lot of them do not land, because it feels like there's multiple times throughout the movie that things are edited out. You know, like a character at the end makes a reference that they say something exactly like that person, and they only said it once, and it was filmed in a way where it was like a pass. And I was like, wow, they brought a thing back that was a reference that didn't even get set up. There wasn't like the reason to joke about that. And that character at one moment, it literally, there's like there's this gap of time where this character's like, oh, he's dying because this thing's rejecting it. And then all of a sudden he's outside fighting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's like something got changed here. Like it just jumps forward and he's now outside in a battle. And I was like, there's something's missing. Something's lacking. And I would say that there are so many like, oh my God, they could have done so many gags. There's in that fight in the burger joint in this movie, which is in the trailer, by the way. And some of that is like, that's why they put it in the trailer. It's probably the best parts. The violence there is excellent.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. And it seems practical. And then everything else later on, there's like a very cheaply filmed concert fight where there's only like maybe 50 people in the audience. And the violence there is all CG. And I would say that it just seems like way cheaper than the fight at the burger place. And that's why I was like, was the burger place filmed later to make it more R if they were originally going PG?
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, and especially from the concert on, is just like a whole nother film. Like you have like a sidekick and you have like rare gags. Like all the jokes are really scarce at that point in the movie. There's like maybe one good laugh for me, but I definitely feel like we hit generic territory at that part. And I think that even when the ending came, I was like, they're not doing anything really with it. There is like one good ending kill, but then I think they aren't doing anything enough to make it stand out at that point.
Okay.
It just kind of goes into flowing territory of other films. And that's why I was kind of like, I'm disappointed. And I'm wondering why they even chose to do this. It is completely a different, like, it's no longer the Toxic Avenger. It's just like, okay, now he's like just a typical hero-esque character.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I definitely enjoyed this movie more than I thought I would. I went in kind of hesitant because I was like, well, you know, there's a lot of factors involved here. And, you know, Toxic Avenger is very culty and it caters to a certain demographic of people that like that kind of movie with that kind of tone and the silliness and stuff. It's not for everyone. So being, you know, that we are fans of Lloyd Kaufman and his crazy, like, punk rock filmmaking, we had to see it because we watched all the Toxic Avengers and we watched many, many trauma movies. Our favorite, I think, is still going to be Cannibal the Musical, you think?
They didn't like produce that. They took a student film from Trey Parker and Matt Stone and actually released it on video.
But they released it.
They released it, yeah.
It's kind of in their library, so to speak. But still, like, it takes a certain person to like a movie like this, you know? And
a movie like that, maybe.
Or like that, you know?
Because this, I think that maybe anybody can get on board.
Yeah, but I feel like you have to know a little bit about the source material to feel it. Like, you know, they had like a lot of little jokes there, you know, that they had with, you know, the signage and stuff of the town and just the punk rock feel of it that was paying homage to trauma in general. And I really appreciated that. And I feel like you have to kind of know a little bit about Traumaville to feel it. Mm. But otherwise, if you're just a regular moviegoer, it'll just be like just a movie to you, you know? Like, okay, it's different, it's weird, it's strange, it's funny. But I will give you this. The first, I would say, 40 minutes of the movie, I laughed more than I did at the end. Because I feel like there's two tones here.
Yeah.
The first half of the movie was a setup, you know, to what's going to come. And then the second half was more like, okay, this is us. We have to make the hero win. This is the serious part of it where we have to get back at the company. We have to make the hero win. We have to take down the bad guy. And I feel like a lot of movies do this. So I feel like it's very, you're right. It's very regimented, I guess, where like they do this all the time. It's systematic.
Kind of like fall in line, follow the beat.
Yeah.
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 And I think this needed to be the alternate of that. Because there's some movies that we've seen, like maybe Kick-Ass or Scott Pilgrim, where you kind of go, okay, this is a superhero film, but it's completely unique. And I think that this desperately needed to have a unique voice throughout. And I think it kind of gets dropped at one point. And I feel like the last half is just very beat by beat. Like we're following a blueprint now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, you guys needed to really make this obscure and weird. Like, just make this so surreal. And in fact, I was thinking like, you know, like the Naked Gun remake or legacy sequel or whatever you want to call it. I feel like that had an idea of like trying to do the same thing, but also, and I think that movie kind of failed at that too, but there are some unique weird beats in the middle of that movie that I feel like more of that, you know, and this movie definitely needed that kind of feel where it was just so weird. Like you wanted to be like every beat be so like, kind of like you wanted, like, I feel like that you know, like I always say, very important is to be completely absorbed in a film and like go with it. And I feel like at one point in that 45 minute, after that 45 minutes or whatever, I felt like, okay, I'm being pushed out. And it's just like, now it's just a film. And I was kind of like, okay, like I'm just kind of bored. I wanted to be completely invested and sucked into that universe and feel all the weird oddities of it. And, you know, like, at one point they like forget that they have like maybe there's a whole city or a whole townsfolk and they just keep showing the same burger shop employees. And I kept going, all right, you gotta make this feel like more of a world. You know, you can't make it feel like there's six people living here, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I get that. I mean, it was very formulaic with the ending, and I will definitely give you that. But up until the end, the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie, I was having a really great time with this movie.
Okay, great.
I had a great time.
That's awesome.
I was shocked because, you know, we've seen all the Toxic Avengers and, you know, they go up and down and some get progressively worse as we're going along. But it is what it is. Like, this is not supposed to be taken seriously. Those are trauma movies, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm just taking this for what it is. I'm really proud of Peter Dinklage for even being part of this because he usually does like serious roles. So I was like, oh, okay, this is cool, you know? And the cast was fantastic. I thought everybody did a good job. But yeah, I will say that the last half was a little less funny and a little bit more systematic in the filmmaking. But I thought the director did a great job.
I feel like he had that. I would definitely say there was a part in there where I was like, oh, he's making some fun creative choices and some interesting directorial like choices. And I felt like, all right, this is a different director now, or are these reshoots really done cheap and not really thought about? I can't tell. I don't know what was reshot, but if this was the unrated version, this is definitely like, no, they just kept it the way it was supposed to be, but mm-hmm. I wonder about it. I also wonder, like, you know, when some creators like they film certain scenes as a promo to pass around to say this is the kind of movie we want to make. Deadpool did that with that one director made the CG Deadpool and they snuck it out so they would get it made.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that the burger shop scene here was that scene they filmed. They're like, oh, let's make something really weird.
Yeah.
And then pass it around. It's like, this is what we're thinking.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the scene. And I don't feel like anything else reached up to that. But I do feel like that. So for me, do I feel like it's an easier digestible film? So I think it is better in that sense. But if you really want the culty, bizarre, offensive, like just old school comedy and like old school filmmaking, yeah, definitely go to the original.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just watching something for shits and giggles and it's like you want a weird superhero film, yeah, this is the one you go to. Like, yeah. And it's easy to watch, easy to digest.
It's very easy to watch, yes. I had a good time with this movie. The whole time I wasn't like, you know, when there's like a remake, sometimes I'm like eye rolling or face palming or something. No, I didn't really eye roll or face palm at all. I had a good time.
All right. I think if I had to review this at a 10, I'm going to give it a passable 6.
A passable 6, huh?
Yeah. Right. I will say that if you ask me halfway, if you stopped the movie at that 45 minutes, I would have been like, man, this is an 8. I'm really enjoying myself. And then I was like, no, last half really ruining it for me. But it was still on the edge there. And I was like, it's definitely better than mediocre. I think it's passable.
I had a good time. I mean, I want to give it a high 6. So, I mean, I can't push it to a 7.
I can't either. I couldn't I don't want to give it a 5 either.
It's absolutely not a 5. No, it's not a 5. It was fun. It was a fun movie. I was shocked at how fun it actually was. I really was. And yeah, I'm going to give it I'm going to give it a 6 because it's a high 6, but I can't give it a 7. I had fun with this movie.
Oh, there! I will say, if I had to, like in that dream scenario, the thing I wish would have happened, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of that in this movie where I was like, damn, they wasted that opportunity. You know, like having Kevin Bacon, having Elijah Wood in the movie, having this bizarre rock, metal rap band, whatever the hell it is.
Those guys were great.
I wish that they went further with those jokes. Yeah. Like, I kept going, please go somewhere darker. Like, why is Elijah Wood doing this? Like, it never paid off. Like, there were so many things I was like, it's not paying off. Go mm-hmm. further with it. And I had, like, a lot of that dream scenario in my head where I was like, damn, you guys could have went somewhere really, really crazy. And yeah. I wish they would have. But I do enjoy a random parkour villain for no reason. I do enjoy that.
I mean, that was
stuff.
Just so funny. He was just part of the gang and he was just parkouring all over the place.
He's just
for break no dance reason.
Fighting to himself, hilarious. Just for himself. That was silly, stupid that I kind of liked.
Yeah.
So I would say that, yeah, I can't imagine this movie's going to make any money. I don't even think people know it's out.
No, yeah. I don't think so either, but yeah, we're here to tell you it is out, and I say go see it. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
One day this will be on demand very quickly, and I think probably just check it out. You know, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's our thoughts. Do you have any parting more thoughts on this movie?
No, I mean just that I had fun. Like it was, I knew what I was gonna get going in, but I didn't think that I was gonna like it. I thought they were gonna do it wrong. But they did it right for the most part. So it was fun. I'm here for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you ever have this feeling like they could have just made this anything? Like, did it need to be that thing?
It didn't need to necessarily be the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, they didn't need to be a remake. Not really.
No. No, it didn't need to be a remake.
I see a lot of movies and I go, you could have just made this your own thing. You know what I mean? It didn't have to be this.
Yeah.
It could have been called Sludge Man. You know, it could have been anything. Like, yeah. I don't know. That's just how I felt about it. But yeah, so that's our thoughts.
That's
I'd love to hear everybody else's, whoever saw this and you're listening. And please comment below wherever you're, you know, seeing this, if you're seeing this on YouTube and stuff. And otherwise, reach out to us on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit and check out what she's making. I don't think she has any Toxie pins or Toxie earrings.
No, but that's something I would like to work on.
All right. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
The Toxic Avenger.
That's what the kids are calling him. I think it's swell.